Good evening. You are listening to KBOO Portland. We can be heard live at 90.7 FM here in Portland. We can also be heard in Hood River at 91.9 FM and in Philomath at 104.3 FM. Coming up next is your favorite feminist collective, Bread and Roses, which has been going on for close to 40 years now. This program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon Zoo Summer Concerts presenting Sweet Harmony Soul featuring Mavis Staples, Patty Griffin, and Amy Helm and the Handsome Strangers. Sweet Harmony Soul takes place Saturday, July 25th at the Oregon Zoo. Doors at 5 p.m., show at 7 p.m., and the tickets and information are available at zooconcerts.com. We are also made part by Mankey, bringing American jazz bassist, cellist, and singer Esperanza Spalding to the Crystal Ballroom July 28th. Tickets for Esperanza Spalding on sale this Friday at cascadetickets.com. The time now is 6 p.m. Again, you are listening to KBOO Portland Radio.
Do you need some quiet mood music? Some soothing sounds?
Well, then never listen to Life During Wartime, because they just play really obnoxious DIY punk from local bands and international acts. Sometimes they have bands play live, and it's all with the yelling and the screaming and the, I don't like my mom and dad or my teachers and all that kind of stuff. That's Life During Wartime, every other Wednesday from 10 to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Improvisation Summit of Portland, June 4th through 6th at Disjecta in Portland. This all-ages event brings together musicians, dancers, and experimental performers for 3 days of improvisational art. Performers include Roscoe Mitchell, Jonah Parzan Johnson, Linda Austin, Gordon Ashworth, Either Neither, and many, many more. Again, that's the Improvisation Summit of Portland, Thursday, June 4th through June 6th at Disjecta, 8371 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice and equity, globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. all of this, and we have a lot of fun. And I'm going to be one of your hosts this evening. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and it's my pleasure to introduce our latest collective member, Jordan Mitchell. Hi, Jordan. How are you? Welcome
to
the collective.
Thank you, Delphine. It's been a blessing to have the opportunity to be a part of Bread and Roses Collective here at KBOO. For all the reoccurring listeners, I plan on bringing good conversation and topics that I'm passionate about. I'm still pretty new to the Portland area, so I'd love to connect with more organizations that target the minority community. And if you know of any organizations within the community, please connect with me on the Bread and Roses page on Facebook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By liking our page, you can get updates and see behind-the-scenes photos. We are also on the web at www.kboo.fm/breadandroses. And if you are interested in joining the collective, everyone is welcome, and you don't have to have much experience. So to host or produce or engineer with us, contact KBOO's volunteer manager at volunteer@kboo.org. All right. So now that we got all the business taken care of, let's jump into tonight's show.
Yes, let's do it. So tell us, what is the show about tonight?
So tonight on Bread and Roses, we are going to have a conversation with two young Black women about their college experience and their advice on success post-graduation. We will talk about the challenges they encountered and how their family's knowledge or lack of knowledge affected their experience.
So we are joined tonight on the phone by Ashley and by Adelaide. So let me tell you, Ashley Lyons is fourth generation college graduate. She attended Hampton University, majoring in political science. She acquired her bachelor's ranking in departmental honor plus magna cum laude. Currently, she is manager of virtual learning for Macy's at the headquarters in Cincinnati, Ohio. And we are also joined on the phone as well by Adelaide. Adelaide is first generation college graduate who attended Arizona State University, majoring in psychology and minoring in sociology. She's been a professional natural hair stylist for 6 years and has been doing hair for 13 years. Currently, she runs Rare Essence Studio in Tempe, Arizona with her lead business partner. Welcome, Adelaide and Ashley, to Bread and Roses.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Thank you.
Well, welcome both of you to Bread and Roses. But before we go to Ashley and Adelaide, Jordan, I'd love for you to talk a little bit because this is your first show. Mm-hmm. And of course, the topic is close to your heart. So would you share a little bit about your motivation for wanting to explore this particular topic tonight?
Yes. So this topic means a lot to me. And I would like to start off first acknowledging all the 2015 spring graduates. Yay. Who might be listening right now. Congratulations. And to shout out to the parents who got them through. It because they also play a major role, as we will be talking about tonight. I personally graduated spring 2014, and I'm still celebrating my achievement, so I encourage everyone to continue to enjoy every second of it. Now to dive into the topic. My motivation for wanting to explore first-generation college students is to discuss the differences between dependent and independent experiences. Mm. Me personally, I was fortunate enough to have parents that I can lean on my parents for financial stability throughout my college experience. So I would consider myself to be a dependent student. For a long time, I viewed this as a bad thing because most of my friends and colleagues were independent, and I didn't feel like I was an adult yet because I was still dependent on my parents. And but on the other hand, some people envied the fact that I didn't have to work or, you know, balance work and school and support my lifestyle, you know. So this then leads me to my colleague / best friend, on the other hand, has a different story. Mm-hmm. So my first question is for you, Adelaide. Please tell me, what was your experience being an independent first-generation college student?
Well, I'll say, first of all, it was difficult, but it was worth it. I think I learned best being thrown into the water. So my family, they were very supportive of me going off to college, but at the same time, they didn't exactly know how to accurately prepare me. So I just had to learn a lot of stuff by myself. So it did make it difficult, but I came out knowing a lot more than my counterpart because I did have to do a lot of myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what would you consider to be one of your greatest challenges or struggles in college?
It wasn't so much academic. I think that my biggest struggle was not being able to see my family a lot. Mm. And that was really difficult for them because they didn't have a child go off to college. Even though I was still in state, they knew how important it was to me to really focus on my academics. So not seeing them was very difficult because when I did need their support, I had to get through a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. either by myself or with my small my small group of friends. But mm-hmm. and although I was in a relationship all through college, it was still nothing like having your own, right? You know, that own support system. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. So major advantages, would you say, like your family's support from a distance and that your little nucleus of friends on campus definitely helped you throughout college and your relationship? Like, you want to go into more detail about the positive
absolutely.
Effects?
Mm-hmm. I think some of the advantages of that was my siblings and cousins and nieces and nephews being able to see that there is somebody in their immediate family who is doing what they said they're going to do. So mm-hmm. as soon as I graduated high school, I went away to college, and they were really able to get a firsthand experience of, well, this is my family member who, you know, she studies this and that, and, mm-hmm. you know, one day I want to be that. So I was really grateful to be in a position that they can see immediately what it means to go to college and be successful in it.
Right. That's definitely a perfect example of an advantage that I would say was for me as well, which is a great way to lead into asking you the same question, Ashley, because you were my role model growing up. So what were your experiences being a fourth generation college student?
I would say that being a fourth generation college student is definitely a blessing, because I know that that's something that's somewhat rare, especially in the Black community.
Yep.
Having my dad, my grandma, and her father all be college graduates, so I'm really thankful for that opportunity. I know for me, going to college was never a question. It was something that was mm-hmm. always going to happen, and it was something that my parents talked about from the time I was little all the way up until the time that I actually went to Hampton University. And they made it so that there were lots of opportunities for me to be exposed to, whether it be college prep education at a high school mm-hmm. or going on different college tours. They were very instrumental in making sure that I got to see a lot of different types of schools so I could determine what university would be the best fit for me.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Man.
Well, and so, Ashley, I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about what was your biggest challenge, just to see if it's similar to the one that Adelaide had.
I have to be honest. I really didn't have a ton of struggles, but I think one of the things that took a little bit to get used to was just being in a different environment. So I am from Ohio, and I went to college in Virginia, which was about an 11 or 12-hour drive. So I was pretty far away from home in terms of being near family and friends. And one of the good things that Hampton has that a lot of people, they kind of give it a side eye usually when they hear it, is that Hampton puts all of their freshmen on a curfew for the first 6 weeks that they're in school.
What?
And a lot of people are like, wait, we're 18, we're adults, we don't need a curfew. Mm-hmm. But I think the benefit of that is that you have the opportunity to start to get in a regimen. So you have to be in during the week by 11, which gives you time to bond with your dorm mates, mm-hmm. and it gives you time to get your homework done, all of those sorts of things that I feel like a lot of times on other campuses, when this is your first opportunity to be an independent student, you're going to stay out as late as you want and go to every party mm-hmm. and hang out and do all of those things, which oftentimes are equal to, you know, having that issue with keeping your grades up and making sure you're in class on time and those sorts of things. So mm-hmm. I think that was something that I didn't really have to encounter, but it could have potentially been probably a bigger struggle. But I thought what was one of the things that was really interesting that Adelaide mm-hmm. said is with her being an independent student, you know, that's amazing to me because you have a lot of times uh-huh. students who who take for granted the opportunity that they have. I mean, I know plenty of people who came in with me as freshmen and their parents stayed their whole way, and they rarely showed up for class on time, or they wouldn't go at all, whereas you had other people who were working their way through school and they were always on time no matter the circumstance. And it was kind of like they really wanted to earn that. And so sometimes I think that can be a struggle for dependent students, making sure that they are really there for the right reasons and that they're focused right away.
Right.
I thought it was very interesting that both of you guys kind of identify, you know, being away from family, kind of like not having your known support system kind of readily available was one of the challenges. I'm curious also because, Ashley, Hampton is a historically Black college. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about maybe also how you felt supported, and maybe we can hear about Adelaide and how she created her support system.
Absolutely. When I joined, when I went to Hampton University, I felt as though I was a part of a family from the moment I walked on campus. Actually, even before that, when I took my college tour with my parents just to see the university and see what the dorms were like and see what the experience is like. I mean, the tour guide, they hug you right away. They're like, they're so happy that you're there and they want to welcome you into their family. So for me right away, it was a great experience. And going to a historically Black college was much different than what I experienced while I was in junior high and high school. I went to a prestigious private school here in Cincinnati, and I was one of five Black students in my entire class. So it wasn't something that I saw on an everyday basis, but I think a lot of times people think that historically Black colleges or universities are monoliths, that everyone is going to be exactly the same because they're Black, but at the same time, they're completely different because you have tons of different cultures. You have large Muslim communities. You have West Indians. You have people who have only gone to Black schools. You have people who've only gone to predominantly white schools. So it really gives you an opportunity to kind of build and diversify the friends that you want to once you get there. But it was definitely a really great a nurturing environment. We had teachers who really cared about us, faculty, staff, who really made it so that we were invested. And you could see that all the way from the way the seniors at Hampton interacted with the freshmen. It was definitely like they were trying to look out for you as though you were a little brother, a little sister that they could help get through the ranks. So there was never really any competition to be the best. It was, how can I help you once you leave here?
Adelaide, how about you? How did you build your support network at the university you went to?
So I came from a predominantly white high school. There were a few Black students there, but being acclimated to the university through different summer programs really helped build the community around my identity. Of course, I identify as a Black woman. So really getting in contact with like very prominent figures at ASU's campus because we collectively create such a small percentage of students as a Black community. Knowing some of those people from high school, it definitely helped. When I first went to ASU, I was a part of a predominantly male organization. And they, you know, took me in right away, treated me like I was their sister. And I also was in a relationship. So, well, we didn't start dating until right before right before college. So being in a relationship, he was really mainly my support system. And so one day he was like, you need to get some friends. You can't just be hanging around guys all the time. And because I'm such an introvert, it didn't really faze me. So I'm so used to, you know, being by myself. I have no problem with that. But once I went away, I'm like, I do need people. And I realized that my sophomore year, I met this friend, Jordan. and Jordan and I, we built a friendship, a relationship, knowing that we didn't need each other. So
And then
I didn't realize the value of female relationships until Jordan and I became best friends. Because I had friends in high school, but it was never like they're my sister, and we're going to be friends for the rest of our lives. I didn't realize that until I got into college. Mm-hmm. And then we went on to start a women's organization, and that also became another support system, yeah. not only for us, but other women at ASU who realized the importance of interpersonal relationships. So I had my boyfriend, I had Jordan, and, you know, I also built families with the rest of my students, not students in the sense that I'm their instructor, but, you know, it was this mentor relationship. And of course, I still have my family, but as far as on the university campus, it was Joshua and Jordan.
Well, and that's great. I think that, you know, that's one of the things that we try to do here at the Bread and Roses Collective is also to provide that support system for a network of women. So I'm really glad to hear that that you guys have been networking all along. This is one of the best things that mm-hmm. we can do as women, support each other in so many ways. You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and I'm co-hosting with...
Jordan Michelle
this evening. And we have Adelaide and Ashley on the phone that are joining us. We're having a conversation about, you know, going to college and what are the differences between being first generation or fourth generation? What does it mean to be depending on your parents or being independent on your own financially and otherwise? We're going to take a short musical break and we'll be right back. This is I Know I Can, Nas.
Up. You can be anything in the world, and God we trust, an architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy, it takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star, she was very beautiful, leaving people in awe, singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version, hung with the wrong person, got a stronger than her when cocaine, sniffing up drugs, all in the nose, could have died so young, now looks ugly and old, no fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep, and the crowd you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hand in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be. Up in the club with fake ID. Careful, for you meet a man with HIV. You can host the TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide.
You're listening to Bad Owners as we do wish we could listen to I Know I Can all the way. But we have such an important conversation going on tonight on Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. I'm here with Jordan Michelle, a brand new collective member who is just rocking tonight, bringing to us this amazing conversation with Jordan, with Ashley and Adelaide, who are both college graduates. And so Adelaide is first generation, Ashley is fourth generation. We've been having a conversation about their experience. Jordan?
Right. So I definitely want to transition a little bit. For me, I felt a great amount of pressure to graduate from college because no one in my line of family did. So my parents, my grandparents, great parents, it's never happened, you know? So for me, I knew I had to go to college. I knew I had to finish. But I had to finish on time. You know, my dad's probably laughing because that had to happen, right? So for both of you guys, we'll start off with Adelaide again. Mm-hmm. Were there different pressures being a college student with parents who didn't go to college versus who did? And then we'll hear Ashley's answer.
Okay, so my mother, she attended college, but she did not complete college.
Mm-hmm.
My nana, she did graduate from college, mm-hmm. but a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
long time ago. So, of course, we knew things had changed.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure from my parents, I did not grow with my father at all, but knowing who he was and him commenting on what's going on in my life, there was a bit of... There became a level of inferiority when it came to she's my educated child, but now she's exceeded my education.
Mm.
Therefore, I feel like I can't communicate with her on a level that's comfortable with me because I feel like I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough. So he detached himself from me in a sense to say that I'm going to let you do you, and I'm proud of you, but I'm not going to praise you in a way that you might accept it because I don't want you to feel any type of way and I don't want to feel any type of way. So that was that's what I felt from my father.
Mm.
From my mother, she didn't pressure me to do anything. She just wanted me to be happy. So honestly, like, if I didn't finish college on time, she wouldn't have felt any type of way because she knows life happens. But at the same time, she had a different expectation of me than she had of my siblings. So one of them did not attend college. One of them did attend college but took as much time as she felt she needed. So the pressure wasn't necessarily from my family. It was, I mean, from my parents. It was more so from my siblings to see that once you start something, you complete it. Mm-hmm. For my to see once you start something, you complete it. For my cousins to see the same thing. So for me, it was... I have to carry this weight. I also put a lot of pressure on myself. Like, I have to carry this weight to show them that I'm the exception.
Right. So do you think that you having a natural, independent kind of, you know, personality, that it's just expected from your family? You know, did you ever feel like that college wasn't this great thing because they just expected you to go because you just are good in school and just general? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was never a question of, is she going to go? When she's going to go, is she going to get her PhD? Is she going to get an MD? So when I decided I'm not going straight into grad school because I did too much during my undergrad, stretched myself out because I had a full-time job, started an organization from scratch, ran everyone else's organization, and knowing that I'm going to finish this on time, I'm going to have a great GPA, and then I possibly might go to grad school. So I'm studying during my finals for my GRE, and it was so stressful that I felt like at one point I'm going to take a step back and I'm not going to apologize for it. And my family, they didn't make me feel any type of way for it at all. They supported me in taking my time off before graduate school. So
good for you.
Yeah, it was me.
Put a limit down. Absolutely. I think that the conversation, would love to hear from Ashley, what was some of the pressure that were coming from your family, or was there any around your college education?
You know, I didn't really feel any pressure from my family, and kind of like what Adelaide said, I put most of the pressure on myself because I've always been someone who has goals and is really goal-oriented. So for me, I'm always up against myself. And there are times when I'm like, I know I could have done better on that test, or I could have worked a little bit harder. So that's kind of what drives me. But, I mean, my parents have always been proud of me, which I'm really thankful for, and they let me know that as well. So I didn't feel that anything I would have done would have let them down. I had to kind of just go through college the way I wanted to, doing the things I wanted to. And then they were going to be proud regardless.
I just love this dynamic between Leigh and Ashley. You know, it really is balancing out, and it's really proving the point that, you know, being first generation versus fourth generation, you know, it's not that you don't have support from your family, but you just have experience in your line of family who can, you know, assist you throughout your journey, and it's kind of just laid out for you, or I don't know, you know, but I'm loving this, and I feel like I'm right in between you two. You know, I'm first generation, but I'm dependent on my parents, and they were very, very supportive of me. They were very active in my journey through college, but it wasn't as stressful, but then it was stressful because it was stressful on me because, you know, I was taking on these classes and college, you know, I've never been through college. I didn't necessarily have anyone that went to college where I can follow in their footsteps, and my parents didn't know much about the process of applying and all those other things. But then it wasn't stressful because my parents took care of me throughout college financially, and I didn't have to worry about another job like Adelaide did, you know? So it was very inspiring just watching her get through all those things. And even my boyfriend, he had to do the same thing, supporting him and his family, you know? It kind of humbled me in a way. It's like, Jordan, you know, just stay focused, you know, get through school, study hard. That's all you have to worry about. That's your only responsibility. That's what my parents preach to me all the time. And I'm so grateful for them. And I'm so grateful to have independent people like Adelaide who were around me to inspire me to stay focused. But then I also didn't have to worry about the additional stuff that they had to worry about. So I thank you guys. Yeah.
And so now you have degrees.
Right.
What do we do with them?
Right. So
Maybe Adela talk about, so tell us a little bit about your degree. What is it in? And do you feel satisfied after receiving this? Do you feel that it's enough, that you're prepared for life?
So I got my bachelor's in psychology and my minor in sociology, and because I was that student who, I'm going to read if you tell me to read for an assignment, I'm going to study when I need to study. So I felt like I did get a lot out of my bachelor's, although I'm not a psychologist by any means, I'm not a counselor by any means, but I did study the things that I wanted to know. In the case of me being a natural hairstylist and dealing with clients every single day, it's beneficial for me. Do I feel like I'm satisfied after receiving it? No, I know that I have to get my master's. I know that one day I want to get my PhD. So it's not ever going to end. Like, I feel incomplete. Like, when I got my degree, I'm like, this feels like a high school diploma. Did I learn something? Yeah, but I feel like I still have so much more to do. So, I don't know. It's been beneficial in the sense that I still get to use the tools that I've learned from various professors, from different lectures, from different books and scenarios that a lot of my instructors really, really made me learn, and I took upon myself to learn. I get to use some of those with my clients, and they're very receptive of it. Sometimes with them knowing my background in psychology, they are also changing my mind, which is a very common misconception, which I know it's a joke, but sometimes it kind of gets annoying, like, no one can read your mind. But
except your hairdresser.
I do get to use it, and in that sense, it is satisfying. But as I said before, I know I'm not done. Like, I really cannot wait to get my master's, to go into counseling, to go into therapy. So it's not over.
It's not over.
It's not over.
That's a good point that you make, saying that now in this day and age that the undergraduate degree is not enough. And that's something that I'm battling right now, you know, just trying to get out there in the career world. They expect so much of you now. And actually, my papa, he was just telling me, who was my grandparent. He was just saying, you know, back in my day, an eighth grade education
would get you a long way.
Right. And then just as the generations just keep going on, it's like, oh, high school graduation, you'll be good. Oh, no. Now it's undergrad. It's not enough. You need a master's, you know. So it's just going to keep going up as the generations come. But yeah, thank you so much. Adelaide. So for Ashley, you've been in the workforce for a little while, so you've graduated. Tell us, do you work in the field that you majored in? And
I do not.
You do not? Oh, okay.
So tell us about that. Why not?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I studied political science, and immediately when I got to college, I selected my major. So as a freshman, I was already figuring out what the track would be to graduate with that degree, because ultimately I wanted to go to law school.
Mm-hmm.
And the further that I got my degree, the more I realized my interests were starting to change, but I didn't want to veer off course and end up having to stay longer, as well as have to take like a bunch of other classes that I might not have been as passionate about. One of the things that I've learned just in being in the workforce is that a lot of times employers will teach you what they want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to see that college degree to know that you're able to stick with it and complete a task. And a lot of times college can provide you with a certain level of business acumen and experience that you might not otherwise receive. So I really think that's probably the driving force behind getting a college degree. But I've actually never worked in my degreed area. When I was coming out of college in 2008, we were in the middle of the recession. So that was a very tough time to be coming out of undergraduate studies, because there were no jobs. And I mean, I had friends who for years were not working at all, because they just couldn't find anything in their degreed area. It almost seemed as though we had been promised like these great high-paying jobs, and then when we finally were able to graduate, there was nothing there for us. So we had to kind of create our own lane and be able to really kind of create that success for ourselves. So maybe our career path didn't look exactly like we thought it was going to, but there's still a way up the ladder. You just have to find a way.
Right.
So I think that's kind of how I ended up in my various roles. I've done everything from working in banking to being an organizational change management consultant, which I did for about 4.5 years. And I worked with Fortune 100 companies on kind of just process implementation, as well as leading them through different acquisitions and those sorts of things. And then now I currently work for Macy's as a manager of virtual learning. So I assist with the facilitation and training of all of our associates, as well as everyone from sales manager up to vice president on the corporate side as well.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that it's very helpful to be able to hear also that your interests do change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I won't tell you how many masters I have, because my interests did change a lot.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. There's that reality too.
Right. So do you think that college sets you up for success, Ashley, in going through that journey of that recession? And did you know like soft job skills, or did you know how to budget and pay for taxes and live on your own? You know, all those things, all those little basic things just to be an adult. Do you feel like you learned that in college?
I don't think I really learned that in college. I know a while ago they used to have classes in high school that would teach you how to like balance a checkbook or get you prepared to be an adult, and these days they really just don't have those sorts of classes. So a lot of that I learned from watching my parents or from doing a lot of reading on the internet and trying to figure stuff out. I mean, I think we're really lucky to be in the internet generation, where if there's something you want to find out or want to learn, it's right there at your fingertips, and you can kind of just do it on your own. So that's really what I kind of learned and figured out, because the funny thing about being an adult is that I still sometimes don't feel like an adult, which is fine. And I mean, there are days when I'm like, oh, I just wish I was 5 years old again and could take a nap like 4 times a day and not have to do anything.
Right.
But I think the interesting thing is, like, a lot of times when you're first becoming an adult, it's a very humbling experience. Because I know for me, because I was very dependent on my parents, if I needed money, I could just ask them for it.
Right.
Well, now it's like, as an adult, like, hey, your phone bill's due. And they don't care that you wanted to go to the mall instead and spend your money on some new shoes or something.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of really just trying to leverage that and figure out, you know, how much do I need, and right. what do I need to survive? So I think a lot of that is trial and error,
right?
And then just going forward from there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. For me, it definitely was a transition. I learned these things, or those like soft skills, just observing people like Adelaide, you know. And Adelaide, you can go ahead and talk about yes. how you learned all those things, because I watched you for sure. I was just like, you can handle all the electricity bills and stuff. Just let me know when I gotta pay you, okay?
Yes, indeed. So, as I said, I have been thrown in the water in many scenarios in life, especially in this predicament of being an adult, learning how to pay a bill, learn how to be financially responsible for myself. That happened at a very, very early age. Growing up with a single mother, you know, if she needed help around the house, we all helped. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't matter how old we are, how old we were, we all helped. So I just had to figure it out. I started taking care of myself financially at a very early age because I was working since I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it just like, it just happened. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking for it. I just had to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
There was no one to sit down and tell me, well, this is what you're supposed to do when it comes to, you know, paying your phone bill. It was, I need a daggone phone, and I need to go get one. So I don't have a choice. I mm-hmm. can't ask anybody. When I moved out, when I lived on my own, you figure it out. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to sacrifice certain things. So people are like, oh, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Because I got bills. Like,
right.
From the time I was a freshman to the time I was a senior, like, mm-hmm. it was the same exact thing. But I knew that there was a separation between me and my peers. So when they got to do those things, like, as Jordan says, she learned a lot from me, but I was like, it must be nice to have somebody just drop a couple $100 in your account and you not have to do anything for
right.
it, because I'm so used to working every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that beautiful check comes in my account, I'm like, dang, now I got to spend all of this on bills. You know, so... To me, before, it was never like I was missing out on something until I did get to college. I'm like, y'all really do get to do a lot more
mm-hmm.
and not have to do anything for it. But I didn't see the downside of that. Being independent, yeah, there are perks to that, knowing how to do certain things at an early age. But I didn't realize that when you are dependent on your parents, they do like hold these strings above you, like, well, I can take this away and I can mm-hmm. take that away. And I was mm-hmm. like, my mama can't take none away from me. She don't pay my bills, you know?
Yeah.
And so learning those things, like how to pay my taxes and what credit was and getting life insurance, like, I don't know other 23-year-olds who have life insurance. I don't know other 23-year-olds who literally live on their own and pay all of their bills and their parents have nothing to do. Or like, my mother has access to my account if she needs money,
mm-hmm.
not
versus the other way around.
If I need to help you, you take it out of my account, because I've created a safety net for myself, because I don't want to have to depend mm-hmm. on anyone. I don't want anyone telling me what I can and cannot do. So even now that I'm about to get married, like, I'm going to make my own money, and you can't take nothing from me, because yes. you don't give me nothing mm-hmm. besides your last name type thing.
Right, right. right.
So,
yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on getting married, but also congratulations on really pulling through all of this. I think, you know, I want to thank Jordan for bringing this conversation tonight, and Adelaide and Ashley for really sharing their experiences. I think it's kind of the point, right? It's whenever you come from a family that has gone to college, you know, second, third, fourth generation, there's a certain knowledge and and also there is for the family a possibility to start acquiring wealth, right, that then can be transferred also onto children, so that you know, Adelaide wouldn't have had to work as hard as she did, even though huge kudos to you for having done it so beautifully and still starting an organization to help others. I think I think it's incredible testimony. Well, we are you're listening to Bread and Roses. We're going to take another short musical break. When we come back, we're going to kind of pick your brain, ladies, on, you know, tips and really words of support for other young women out there that are you know, going through what you've gone through. Mm-hmm. So you're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Cucenzo.
And you are, oh, and Jordan.
Yes.
Jordan Michelle.
Yes. And we are going to listen to who this time?
We're
going
to listen to Kanye West. Good morning.
We'll be right back.
Good morning. Good morning. Wake up, Mr. West, Mr. West, Mr. Fresh, Mr. By himself, he's so impressed. I mean, damn, did you even see the test? You got D's, motherfucker, D's, Rosie Perez. And yes, barely passed any and every class. Looking at every app, cheated on every test. I guess this is my dissertation. Homie, this shit is basic. Welcome to graduation. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. On this day we become legendary. Everything we dreamed of. I'm like the fly Malcolm X by any jeans necessary. Detroit red cleaned up. From the streets to the league, from an eighth to a key. But you graduate when you make it up out of the streets. From the moments of pain, look how far we done came. Haters saying you changed, now you doing your thing.
You are listening to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs, every Friday at 6 p.m. on your favorite community radio station, KBOO. I'm Delphine, and I'm here with Jordan. We've been having a wonderful conversation about going to college, graduating, whether you are first generation, second generation, and also when it is from the perspective of Black women. That's what we're talking about tonight. Thank you, Jordan, for bringing this conversation.
Yes, thank you, Del. So we're going to go ahead, Ashley and Adelaide. Well, this one is for Ashley. What advice would you give a recent graduate about success after college? Now, before you answer this,
she's going to set you up.
Right.
Ashley.
Right. So when I graduated college, Ashley sent me this very elaborate email about or just tips on how to become successful and to pick up where you left off. You know, now that you don't have any responsibilities as far as school goes, where do you go from here? So, Ashley, I loved it. When I read it, I was just like, wow, this needs to be a book because this is perfect. You nailed everything, like everything I can think of. So, yeah. What advice would you give students about success after school?
I would say that, you know, success is really what you make of it, and success is subjective. Success could be getting your first apartment on your own, or it could be maybe you're venturing out into a new field that you weren't expecting. So you can't really judge your success based on your friends or what your family believes or what other people may believe. It's really up to you. Mm-hmm. When I wrote Jordan that email, my thought process was, what are some things that I would want to know if I was 21 or 22 again and coming out of college for the first time? And that I told Jordan a few things, but I think one of the most important is like being smart with your money and making sure that you don't go out and
rack up a bunch of debt and get, you know, really tied up into credit cards and those sorts of things, and that you make smart decisions because your credit stays with you for a long time and it can affect some of the decisions that she'll have to make in the future. Mm-hmm. I also told Jordan, you know, the importance of finding hobbies, things that you love to do, because a lot of times work is not enough. And previously when you were in college, you had activities that you had to do mm-hmm. almost all day, every day. So what happens at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock when you're done for the day? Are you just going to go home, or are you going to join a club, or are you going to pick up a sport, something like that, you know, just really to add value and create new networks? Because, I mean, for a lot of us, when we were in college, we were a stone's throw away from so many of our friends. And then when we go and move to separate places, now you have to kind of recreate a circle. So how do you do that? By getting really involved where you can. And I think the last thing that I would say is, you know, the importance of really thinking about what it is that you want to do. Storyboard it out, write down your goals, and then have people hold you accountable to them. So if there's something that you're saying that you really want to do and you really want to accomplish, tell your friends and tell people who can help support you. And, you know, if you start to get off track, have people in your corner who are not afraid to tell you, hey, regain some focus here, mm-hmm. Because they want what's best for you.
Mm-hmm. So this is a 5-page long email that is laid out right in front of us. I'm wondering, Ashley, what compelled you to write? I mean, I can't guess. You know, your love and care for Jordan and your desire to see her succeed. But why do you think that we miss this information, and especially as women, you know, that you felt compelled to actually write a 5-page long email?
Yeah, I definitely did not follow any kind of email etiquette rules. Like, do not send that link of email.
That's
ridiculous.
Okay.
But, I mean, for me, I don't have younger siblings. So Jordan has always been like a little sister to me. And I wanted to just tell her some things that I was thinking about that she would want to know going forward. But I think as women, a lot of times we're expected to know everything or expected to know exactly how to do everything. And I think one of the other things I touched on in her email, or in the email that I sent Jordan, was about the importance of having good relationships and making sure that whoever you choose to date or to marry or whatever you would like to do, make sure that that person is supportive of you, but you're your own woman mm-hmm. outside of that relationship. Mm-hmm. Because it's very easy to get wrapped up and involved in those sorts of things when you're not your own person. So mm-hmm. I wanted her, and I want everyone else to know, I mean, it is great to fall in love and to be, you know, a part of a team, but at the same time, you really need to have something for yourself. So I think that's definitely a key takeaway. And I think women are really starting to become more supportive of one another and knowing that, you know what, we can all make it. It is possible for everyone to have a piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you see things like Lean In or Girl Boss or all of these different books, you're seeing incredibly strong women, and a lot of their success is attributed to other women. It's no longer, I did this on my own. They do have really great support systems. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great way to just continue to ensure that women are thriving in the workplace, in their life outside of work. Because, I mean, we are a growing majority in the country, and we have to support one another because we're still underpaid in comparison to the jobs that we're doing. We get a lot of sometimes flack from others if we decide to take time off and raise a family and those sorts of things. So it is really important to make sure that we're celebrating women wherever we can and really just trying to help one another.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I'm glad that Jordan actually followed your advice with looking for things to do after work, because now here she is with the Bread and Roses Collective.
Right.
Adelaide, let's hear from you. What's your advice for young graduates?
Well, I would say, yeah, Ashley, you hit the right on the head, girl.
You need to publish this email.
That's what I'm saying. She needs to publish it. Man.
I'm a little feminist at heart. So anytime others think wonderful things or, you know, are eloquent in what they do, it makes me very happy. I think just to add on to that, For example, I'll use myself. I realize that I am academic to a certain extent, and I know how important my creativity is to me. Like, I can't do one without the other. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, I had to hone in on being unapologetically who I am at my core. And I'm a writer. I'm a stylist. I'm a creative. And I knew that I had to get that time. Mm-hmm. So, some advice I would give to, you know, recent graduates would be, be who you are unapologetically. And if that means you're going to disappoint some people, damn it, you better do it.
Yes.
You know? At the end of the day, you do not want to regret not having the time that you deserved, because this is your time. Most of us, when we come right out of college, we don't have children. Mm-hmm. So if you don't hone in on those talents when you get the opportunity to, you have nothing holding you back. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all.
Right. Yeah.
Even though I'm about to get married, Ashley said it, like, figure out who you are as a woman first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Start to create your identity in whatever thing you want to. Right after I graduated college, literally a month later, I created a vision board. Mm-hmm. And I sat there for hours and hours creating that vision board, what I wanted my life to be like in 5 years. And it had nothing to do with my relationship mm-hmm. at the time. It had nothing to do with my friends at the time. It's who I want to do and who I want to be. And I have to put that into the universe. I have to speak those things. I have to look and believe those things, because at the end of the day, there is no one person that can say, well, I either created or hindered your ability to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to give anybody else that opportunity. So for me, I think the most important thing for me was, be who I am unapologetically, and know that I have other talents, and I have the opportunity to put that energy into the world and start to manifest them.
Thank you, LA. I honestly couldn't have picked two better people for this topic. This is great. Thank you so much for you guys' input. So the last question before we wrap it up is, as a student, what advice would you give parents who are mm-hmm. sending their youth off to college?
Yeah.
It's open for anyone.
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's hear from Adelaide.
Go ahead, LA.
Because, you know, I got to know my best friend's parents, and knowing my mother has a different style of teaching. So, like I said, you know, she's a throw you in the water and you're going to swim. Not, I expect you to sink, but you're going to swim.
Mm-hmm.
So she had that confidence. Well, she instilled that confidence mm-hmm. in me. But I also saw other parents who, they wanted success for their child so bad.
Mm-hmm.
They made it their problem. They made it their success.
Yeah.
And they lived. They wanted to live vicariously through that student.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, she wanted me to be whoever I wanted to be. If I decided mm-hmm. to change my major 5 times, I'm changing my major 5 times, and she's going to be with a, I'm a proud mom of blank. Mm-hmm. You know, she's ready mm-hmm. for it.
Mm-hmm.
And other parents are like, no, they need to focus on this. They need to be successful in this, or they won't be successful in the world. They have one idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say to those parents out there, like, really just be supportive of whatever they decide to do. Like, and if it changes, it changes, because life changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they do something or get a degree in something and waste all your hard-earned dollars
mm-hmm.
on something that they don't love, you're going to resent them, and they're going to resent mm-hmm. you for all the time that they spent studying for something that they didn't love.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Why not let them change their mind? Not to say that they have to be so passive that, you know, it's going to take them 6 years or 7 years to get a degree,
mm-hmm.
but really start to hone in on, who do you want to be and why do you want to be that person?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
support them in that.
I think it's also like a mechanism of like fear, like because they've never mm-hmm. experienced college, it's almost yep. like, I want to stay on top of you. I want to see what's going on. I want to hear what mm-hmm. you're doing. I want to hear how you're doing in your classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because they're learning this journey with you, you mm-hmm. know? And I totally understand
true.
That. And I totally respect parents who do that. But it's also mm-hmm. just, I got this.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I'm going to figure this South, and then I'm going to let you know how it goes.
Fly, little birdie, fly.
All right, Ashley, your last words. What would be your advice to parents?
My immediate thought is to tell them to relax.
Yes.
And I know that that is very difficult for parents to do. I know my parents are listening, and Jordan's parents are listening as well. So they're probably not thrilled by that response. But I think that the hard work is really getting your child ready to leave the nest and, you know, getting them prepared for a world that is going to try to chew them up and spit them out. And I think a lot of the times our parents really do prepare us for that moment, mm-hmm. even though they don't necessarily feel prepared. Mm-hmm. So for them, I think it is really important to relax mm-hmm. and to think about all of the things that you've instilled in your child, that yes. their moral compass is pointed in the right direction. Yes. You've done your job. Just let them go and explore and find out what's going to be the best for them. Because I think really, like, that stage between typically 18 to 22 is really when people start to find themselves mm-hmm. and develop things that they like. I mean, a lot of times on college campuses, this is the first time you have your kid exposed to drugs or to alcohol or to unsavory characters and those sorts of things. And you really just have to trust them that they've been instilled with enough knowledge to kind of stay away from those things. So mm-hmm. I think really, like, if they just relax and believe in their kid that they've done enough for them, that they'll be successful.
Thank you. Thank uh-huh. you. Thank you. That's yeah. great advice.
Thank you, both of you, Ashley and Adelaide. Mm-hmm. I just want to say to Jordan's parents, I think you did an amazing job. She got this. She really
I
does.
I got this. I want to thank them. But thank you for making this such a great first show, Ashley and Adelaide and Dell. I appreciate it so much. It was a breeze. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a breeze. She was a little nervous. Well, a little bit. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Brad and Roses. Make sure to tune in next Friday, 6 p.m. We'll have Mary Postlewaite hosting a show discussing a program from the Noble Foundation, helping girls actually build their financial future. So somewhat aligned to what we talked about tonight. Have a great week, everyone, and we're going to leave you, of course, with Beyonce.
Beyonce.
School and life. Woo! Have a good night. Congratulations, Jordan.
Yay!
Great job, kid.
It just started in 20-somethings. Time really moved past. You were just 16. This is for them 30-something that didn't turn out exactly how your mom and dad wanted you to be. This is for them 40-something. Well, raise up your glass and laugh like a motherfucker. This is for them 50-something. Hell, you're halfway there, baby. Take it to the head. And dad tried to hide the world. Said the world's just too big for a little girl. Eyes wide open, can't you see? I had my first kiss by the age of 13. Mom and dad tried to hide the boys. I swear that just made them want me more. At 14, they asked me what I wanna be. I said,
good evening. The time is now 7 p.m. You are